The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for our study in the Gospel of Luke. We are on the second day of the 15th week of this journey. And today we'll be studying from verses 11 to 17 of Luke chapter 7. And I pray that God will speak to you in a mighty way. As you know, the community of Jesus' apprentices of the rescue worker, we have a model that we want to live for. And the model for our community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. It is based on this model that we want to live, loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. And I pray that we'll be able to fulfill this model, because that is the way that we will be able to be like Jesus, loving and serving like Him. Well, on this week, we have a beautiful Bible promise. A Bible promise that is part of the account that we will study today. And I want to ask you to take this Bible promise for you, for your day. And here is the memory verse for this week. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. When the Lord saw him, when the Lord saw her, when the Lord saw you, his heart overflowed with compassion. And God is saying to you right now, don't cry. Wow. His eyes are paying attention to you and to me. His eyes are paying attention to people suffering. And he's moved by compassion because God is mercy. And that is so beautiful just to contemplate, just to rest. And reflect in the compassion and the love of God, of who God is. For us to receive this compassion, to experience, to understand, we need to come to the Lord every single day. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to have a fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to be before Him. And Paul, writing in the letter of Hebrews, he wrote, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. God is with us, and He can provide for our tears, for our troubled hearts. He can provide for our needs with His grace and mercy if we come before Him. So why don't you come before Him and let Him take care of you? At this moment, I want to give you 1 minute for you to position yourself before the Lord so you can connect with Him. I want to ask you for a prayer of guidance as we reflect on those verses of today. And I pray that you hear from God say, don't cry. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm here with you. And after that, we'll come back, after this 1 minute, we'll come back to reflect upon the message for today, the verses for today, and try to find lessons to apply for our lives. But take this time to connect with God. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the opportunity that we have to be in your presence, to feel your mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that you will pay attention to us, that you will hear our plea, that you will see our tears, and will manifest in a mighty way to restore, to provide grace and mercy. Be with everyone that is listening to my voice right now on this live broadcast and also later on demand. Bless them, Lord. Involve them with your mercy and grace. Lord, enlighten us as we reflect on this message today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we are. We are starting Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. That's the verses for today. So you can open your Bible. But just before, let's try to remember where we are. Jesus just finished the Sermon of the Plain, where he showed who God is. And who is God? Luke 6:36, you must be compassionate, just the Father is compassionate. God is mercy, and he declares mercy, and he asks us to be merciful. And now what we will see is these teachings, this message of the Sermon of the Plain becoming real in real life. And the first time that mercy was manifested here, after the Sermon of the Plain, was because of a Roman officer. Was not a Jewish person, but a Roman officer that was merciful toward his slave. That he loved the enemy, right? He loved the Jewish people. And he interceded to have his servant restored. And Jesus praises his faith. And now we are coming to a second account where we'll try to see where compassion will manifest this time, how it manifests this time, and what we can learn. And before we read the verse for today, we need to keep in mind Jesus' script, his itinerary for his ministry. Jesus presented that on Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. And I wish we could go back there and watch and listen all the details about that. That was repeated throughout many of Jesus' ministry, right? So we could have fresh, right? And maybe I want to encourage you, maybe over the weekend, or if you have some time today, go to our archives on podcast or YouTube or Facebook and try to study or see of this portion of Luke chapter 4, 18, 19. But I'll read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, Jesus, he was moved by the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And he's anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. So the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to bring the good news to whom? To the poor. And poor in the Bible and here in the Gospel of Luke is not just those that don't have something or lacking something or food or a shelter or a house. Poor is everyone that is in an unfavorable situation, that is cast out, someone that is not having the proper conditions for a proper life. So if someone is displeased, someone that is cast out, so let's say women, Gentiles, widows, orphans, even though they may have what you eat, like may have a shelter, but they are considered poor because they are a second class, they are disfavorable. And Jesus comes to them, the cast out. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. The kingdom of God is about releasing those that are shackled by pain and suffering and death. That blind will see. God opened the eyes, not just physically, but spiritually, presenting the kingdom of God. That the oppressed will be set free. Yes, is the kingdom of freedom. And that the time of the Lord has come. the time of the Lord's favor has come. The Jubilee has come. The time of grace. The reign of grace. So how this script, this itinerary of Jesus, along with the Sermon of the Mountain, where's compassion, will play on this account. That's some kind of the big picture that we need to keep in mind here in Luke chapter 7. And now, starting on verse 11, I read. Soon, afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. Let's stop here for a second. Let's try to understand. After what happened with the Sermon of the Mountain or the Sermon of the Plain, Jesus healed, probably the same day, the servant of the Roman officer. So after that, Jesus is not in Capernaum anymore. He's in Nain. Where is Nain? Let me take my map here and try to show you. So here is the Galilee Sea. And Capernaum is on the north of Galilee Sea. Nain is just 8 kilometers southeast of Nazareth and probably 40 kilometers off Capernaum. So Jesus is in this village of Nain. He's not by himself. He has his disciples with him, and a multitude is following him. So Jesus is moving. He's close to this town, this village of Nain. And what happened? Verse 12. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. So a large crowd from the village was with her. So what we see is two multitudes, two crowds coming together. We could say that one crowd, that was the crowd of life, the crowd of Jesus, the crowd of the kingdom, of freedom, of Jesus' words and ministry. And it was going by the town of Nain. Close to the gate, they see another multitude. A multitude of death. There's a funeral taking place. At the time, funeral was a community experience where people would come together to mourn together. Some people had the function and responsibility of crying, so they could express in behalf of the community the pain that they were suffering. And at the same time, not making awkward for the family that are crying for them to be by themselves. So they are crying together. So there's this noise of cry. If they are coming out of the town, out of the gates, that means that the body had been prepared already, probably with olive oil, with some spices, right, to somehow protect, conserve, and for the smell of the body. The body probably has a cloth around made of lime. And they are going to the cemetery. The cemetery was supposed to be outside of the city. And if the location that we believe, that name that refers in the Bible, is that I mentioned in the map, like close to 8 kilometers southeast of Nazareth and probably 40 kilometers from Capernaum, if you go there to that village today, probably 10-minute walk outside of the city, you have an old cemetery with some kind of caves and rocks. So they are going with the body prepared to put on this cave, probably. The cave where this body is going is not empty. Probably there is a box with bones. At the time, as they prepare the body, they would put in the cave, and after some time, when the body was decomposed, they would get the bones and put inside of the box, a box, and they would live there until the family members would come, and they would be part of these bone boxes, right? And why this tomb was not empty? Because talks about a widow. A widow that had lost already her husband. She had suffered already. But now she's suffering because she lost her only son. You know, we are not designed for death. We were designed to life. That's the reason your pose is so difficult to accept death. But we know that if Jesus will not come, everyone will face death. That is even what Hebrews says, that everybody is destined to at least to die once. Well, on this way of death, we understand as we're getting older, we need to prepare ourselves. And as I see my parents getting older, my grandparents get, you start kind of, oh my, I hope that will not happen. And you don't want to hear that call. Get that visit. That sometimes as a pastor, I had to make that call or visit someone and sharing the passing of the loved one. We don't want to see that. But somehow the life start push us to prepare for that moment. But what the life doesn't prepare for us is for a parent to bury their child. That goes even against the ways of sin and death. I cannot imagine that myself. But that woman was carrying her only son. She's a widow. She's a poor already. In the eyes of the society. Maybe people are blaming her that maybe she lost her husband because they are sinful, did something wrong. Maybe she's carrying the have experience and guilt that maybe she lost her child because God's punishing her. All this religious mindset, that's terrible. Oh, you didn't have enough faith. She's suffering, she's poor, she's weeping. And do you remember two of those, the Beatitudes? God blesses who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. And God bless who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. Somehow, what we'll see here is the manifestation of mercy. Is the manifestation and the application of the Sermon of the Mountain. Is God bring the good news to the poor. Is releasing the captive. Is bringing grace. So the two multitudes, they encounter the multitude of death and life. And now come verse 13. Or memory verse. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. The heart of God overflow with compassion. You know, sometimes we say that, oh, Jesus will do something, or God will do something where there is faith. You need to have faith. Or people say, yeah, it didn't happen because you didn't have enough faith. Let me ask you, who had faith here in this account? And the reality, you will not see faith here. Faith does not appear in this account. So some people, they lead with faith, or they use faith as an exchange with God. And you offer God faith and God will give something back, as if God would just operate based on faith, on exchange. But Jesus, on the Sermon of the Mount, on the Sermon of the Plain, he's saying, no, that's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is based on mercy. And Jesus, he acts out without anyone asking him, without the faith of anyone, because God acts out of his own mercy. Where there is no faith, mercy reigns. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. God acts on mercy. I'm not saying that faith is not important. I'm not saying that Jesus didn't please faith and faith plays an important role. I'm not saying that. Yes, there is importance. But what I can tell you is that God operates not just based on faith. God operates based on mercy. And here we see a woman that will receive the manifestation of God's kingdom, not based on faith, but based on mercy. The mercy of Jesus Christ. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bears stopped it. Let's stop here for a second. So Jesus, somehow he wanted to stop that funeral process. So he touched the coffin. And there's a problem here. And what kind of problem we're talking about? The problem that if man touched something that was unclean, in the case the body or the coffin of someone that had passed, if a man touched the coffin or the body, that person would be considered unclean, unfit to do religious service. Do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? There's a man in the road, on the Jericho road. A Levite and a priest pass by. They see that man in the road. The problem, they don't know if that man is alive or not. If he is alive, yes, I can help. But if he's dead and I touch them, I'll be unclean at least for 7 days and I'll not be able to serve. So between and checking if that they could help that man, or being feeding or being good to do the service, they decide to be good to the service, the religious life. God is more concerned with people than ceremonies. But that's religious life. The kingdom life is a kingdom of helping, service, and mercy. And the person that touches that man in the road is a Samaritan that takes care and saves the life of that man. So as Jesus touched that coffin, technically, he was unclean. But Jesus is God. Jesus is revealing himself, and Jesus, he doesn't get unclean or get any impurity, but he transfer purity, transfer life. And the Bible continues. Then he walked over the coffin and touched it, and the bear stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Whoa. That mother had hold that boy when was a baby, and now she's holding that boy again because he's alive. Jesus brought life. that boy to life. And he sat in the coffin and start speaking. Yes, he's alive. And Jesus take him now, help him from the coffin to his mother. What a beautiful picture. And imagine what people are feeling, experience. And imagine what the first readers of Jesus are grasping about Jesus. Remember, Luke is writing to those that are not Jewish people, that are Gentiles. They are they grew up with this kind of idea of exchange with their deities, of their pantheon, right? They go to their gods and try to offer, bringing offerings and sacrifices so their gods can please them and give something to them. But what we see here is the image of God, a merciful God that didn't expect nothing in exchange, but out of his own compassion, out of his love, God loving the humankind. That's unique. That's different from any form of religious understanding of gods or deities. But the Bible presents this God that loves. And he gives. And what is interesting here, and we may not pay attention, is that there's so many similarities of this account with the account of 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah, he resurrects a boy of a widow as well. And at the same time with 2 Kings chapter 4 with Elisha as well. And we see those two major prophets here and there in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, many times had mentioned already. And even on chapter 7, we can have some reference from Elijah and Elijah as well, where someone outside of Israel was receive a blessing without seeing the prophet. For instance, Elijah, Naaman, right? He didn't see the prophet and he was outside of Israel, but he received the blessing. We see this comparison, and that is important for the Jewish reader. And now comes verse 16. Pay attention. 16, 17. Great fear swept the crowd. So the two crowds now become one, and all are in awe. What happened here? What just happened here? And they praise God, saying, the disciples, the funeral process, they start praising, worshiping God, and there's two lines, and we need to pay attention on those two lines. A mighty prophet has risen among us. That's the first line. And somehow, and let me see if I can find the verse. And Deuteronomy, I think 18. It's 8 or 18. Verse 8. Moses talks about a prophecy. Well, oh, yes. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Moses continue. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites, and you must listen to him. So there is this prophecy that God would raise a prophet like Moses and higher the Moses. And when we see here, God, a mighty prophet has risen among us, they are referring to that prophet. That prophet has been fulfilled. We have another one that is great as Moses. And then he comes a second line of their praise. God has visited his people today. God has visited. And it's interesting that sometimes in the Hebrew Bible, this expression, the visitation of God, is related to judgment, that God is coming to judge his people. But in the Gospel of Luke, and we have seen this phrase already, God has visited his people, is related to mercy. God has come to declare and present mercy. The great prophet, the Messiah, is here. God himself has visited with mercy. And the news about Jesus is spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Wow. The kingdom manifested itself where darkness reigned. The kingdom of God brought up its light and power where death was reigning. And the kingdom of God must reign where there's a space for grace. This kingdom is based on mercy. So, I have two questions for you. The first one, are you manifesting the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God is not reigning right now? Are you manifesting the kingdom among the poor, the widow, those that are in tears? Are you bringing hope? Because where the kingdom manifests, it brings life. Are you being life? Or you're pushing down people, or making people suffer more? So, are you an expression of the kingdom? And second, are you ready for the kingdom to manifest in your life? You see, it does not matter if you don't have enough faith. Because the kingdom of God operates based on mercy. And even where there's no faith, mercy reigns. And what I can tell you is God is saying to you today, don't cry. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm working. Through people, events, and circumstances, I'm working. I'm here. Out of my compassion, out of my love, I'm here. You may not see or understand, but he's here. And remember what he has done already. Jesus Christ came and died for us. He opened the door. He's here. So let the kingdom be a reality for you. Let God wipe your tears. And this manifestation, this glimpse of the kingdom, will be completely fulfilled in eternal life. And Revelation 21 verse 4 says that God will swipe once for all the tears. No more death, no more pain, no more suffering. The kingdom will reign forever. Trust the King. Trust his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the blessings of today's verses. Help us to experience this kingdom. Help us to live this kingdom. Help us, Lord, to manifest this kingdom. Lord, in a special way, I pray for your compassion, that you will manifest among those that are watching right now this live podcast or maybe on demand. Be with them. Manifest the kingdom where grace and mercy are needed. Forgive our sins and stay with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's go to our questions for reflection, and here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. Tomorrow we'll continue our journey on chapter 7, where we see the manifestation, the realization of the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus' itinerary in the life of Jesus. I hope to see you tomorrow. And remember, this is the last week before we have a break, right? For Christmas and New Year's break. And then we'll come back. So that will give you some time for you to revisit some of the episodes that you have missed already, or maybe review some, right? But I hope you continue connect with us and studying the life of Jesus to become more like him. May God bless you. May the kingdom of God be an experiencing for you today. And I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.